Volsungs.
He did not intend me to survive.
Tomorrow evening at 7:30 on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. Time now for this week's Music Planet with Catherine Tickell.
Cuban singer, flautist and percussionist who goes by the name La Dame Blanche with La Maltrada from her explosively upbeat new album Ella. And that is actually one of the more restrained tracks. You're listening to Music Planet with me, Catherine Tickell, and we'll be hearing a couple more new releases throughout the programme, but the main focus today is an astounding treasure trove of old recordings that's just come out. 100 previously unavailable discoveries from almost as many different countries, compiled by Jonathan Ward, a collector of 78 RPM recordings of global music. Hi, Jonathan, and thanks for joining us. We're going to be chatting in just a minute about the project, but first, let's hear some music. So, where to start?
Well, this piece is Ukrainian, and it's from 1930. It's by a man named Vasil Yemets.
Thank you.
Vasil Yemets with Zukrin Shishstepiv from the new mega compilation Excavated Shellac, an alternate history of the world's music, compiled by Jonathan Ward. And Jonathan, tell us a little bit about the track we just heard. And first of all, the instrument.
It's the only recording, the only solo recording of the bandura made in the United States, and that was recorded in 1930. Many recordings, actually, of Ukrainian Americans were issued during the 1920s and the 1930s in the United States because record companies at the time were very interested in expanding their market into local immigrant communities, you know. It took some decades for this practice to really flourish, but it started quite early on. And primarily, the Ukrainian music that was recorded in the States was filled with village music and hot fiddle dances and stentorian baritones, hundreds of great discs like this. But this piece was the only performance on the bandura that was issued in the U.S., as I said. Vasil Yemets was a brilliant player. He was a Ukrainian nationalist. There are stories of him getting in trouble with the Soviets for his political views, but he recorded just this one disc on a tour with North America that year, and the title translates to On the Ukrainian Steppe.
And I love all the history and the context that you give us to the music, you know, and there's an absolutely amazing booklet that goes with the recordings. But the whole project really is an extension of your blog, the Excavated Shellac website. Tell us about that and how it all started.
I started the website in 2007, very simply as a place to showcase global performances on 78 from my own collection that were otherwise unavailable and were ones I thought were, you know, worth sharing. I mean, one side at a time. But very quickly, it became something I put a lot of time into researching, with the belief that it takes no talent to own rare records. You know, it's important and also satisfying to share them, but the most important aspect is to share contextual information about the discs themselves, you know, the performances and even culture, time and place. And this means talking to people who know more than I do, you know, musicologists, other collectors, academics, to help, you know, piece together this incredibly vast story in a palatable way for readers and listeners. And not long after I started the blog, I started working with Dusta Digital.
I know you've chosen some of your favourites to bring onto the programme, but I'm going to choose a couple of my favourites as well. I'm going to play a little dollop of sweetness from Colombia's Hernandez brothers. But first, here's an example of Trolalero singing from Genoa. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I played a 1950s Alan Lomax recording from this same tradition. And apparently, Lomax was absolutely dumbstruck when he discovered this type of choral music. He'd never encountered it before and described the singers, who were usually longshoremen and labourers. He described them as the most perfect choristers of Western Europe. But this piece was recorded before Lomax got there and before he heard it, wasn't it?
It makes you wonder when people use the word discovered, doesn't it?
Yeah.
As amazing as that Lomax recording is, and it's really tremendous, probably he did not realize that there were over 100 Tralalero recordings made in the decades prior to his field recordings. And the one you're about to play, I believe, is one of the best, recorded in 1946. La parate en esa. Oh.
I think that must be the sweetest musical saw playing ever. Usually seen as a novelty instrument, but the Hernandez brothers from Colombia beautifully and delicately disproving that notion there. Recorded back in 1929, that's just one of many tracks we're featuring today on Music Planet from the astounding collection Excavated Shellac, an alternate history of the world's music compiled by Jonathan Ward. Jonathan, you're joining us from Los Angeles. Now, tell me, what is the allure for you of the 78 recording?
Well, I think so many 78 RPM discs just do not have any place in the public life of today. The hundreds and thousands of them that were made, the majority of them are not in archives. The majority of them are not listed in any discographies. You know, when you talk about the global reach of 78s, that kind of research just doesn't exist. 78s were considered ephemeral, yet at the same time, they were the primary sound carrier of the 20th century, you could say. And that kind of absence makes me interested. That's when I like to hear what I otherwise was not meant to hear, or perhaps could not have heard unless I tracked down the original disc. I think that is really what I'm after, is just a personal enjoyment of sounds that I've never heard. It's completely subjective, you know. This collection, any collection like this, can only be the byproduct of the brain pan of the person that produces it.
And this collection is, I suppose, it's part of your history of partnership with the Dust to Digital record label. Just talk us through that a little bit. You've done various previous collaborations with them.
Yes, I'm a very slow compiler and producer, but I'm lucky to have had a long relationship with Dust to Digital starting about 2007, 2008. The first project was Opikapende, Africa at 78 RPM, which took about 5 years to produce. And for that, I wanted to create a collection that featured African 78 RPM discs, but that was also Pan-African. I was inspired by an art exhibit titled The Short Century, which was curated by the late Nigerian artist Okwe Enwizor, about independence movements and Pan-Africanism on the continent in the post-war era. And I had that monograph next to me for about 4 or 5 years while I worked on this project. It wasn't directly influenced, but it was sort of this subtle underlying influence throughout the project.
And I think with the Africa project, like this one, you gave so much information, not just about the artists and the music, but as you're saying, it's about the time period, the context. And I think it does affect the way that you listen to the music. The tracks are just so laden with history that it kind of jolts you into a different understanding of the music. There's some extraordinary vocals on some of these recordings. Tell us about the track, this next one that you've singled out for us.
Sure. This is one of the few known 78 RPM discs from Mauritania. There appears to have only been one very small label that issued Mauritanian music during the 78 era, and it was based in Senegal and seems to have conducted multiple sessions. But this track in particular is from 1954, and is a segment of a longer piece in praise of the Prophet, and it's sung by a woman named Aja Mint Ali, and it's quite stellar.
Dardisque, la radio africaine, Saint Louis.
لسان العوام مقلت لك ناطقون لسان الهوى الهوى من مقلت لك ناطقون لك ناطقون يخبرني أنني لك لك عاشق يخبرني أنني يخبرني أنني لك عاشق يخبرني أنني والشاهد من طرفي قلبي معذبون ولا شاهد من طرفي قلبي معذب ويا قلبي يا وقلبي جريح ما يبي وقلبي وقلبي قلبي علي جريح مني يا بريق لك خابق لا إله إلا الله وقلبي وما كنت أدري قبل حبك ما الهوايا يا جوا قبل حبك ما الهوى ولكن قدر رحمة يا منو رحمة يا منو رحمة لي وعيد لسابق لا إله إلا الله أما كنت أدري بكيب
The extraordinary voice of Aja Mint Ali, a rare early recording of music from the Sahara there. And we've got more previously unavailable discoveries from the new excavated shellac Dust to Digital collaboration coming up later. But let's drag ourselves back to the 21st century now and two releases, starting with this one, the Ethiopian singer Asta Aweke and her new single Mother Ethiopia.
Tanasaj,
Asta Aweke's anthemic new single, Mother Ethiopia, which has just come out. Now, we've got lots of old sounds on today's Music Planet, but before we return to the excavated shellac compilation, I'm going to play you another brand new release. It's from Swedish-Estonian band Frender, a group of siblings from Sweden and their sister-in-law, I think it is, from Estonia. And also on this track, they're bringing in Polish vocal trio Sitari. And this is Flying Swans.
Why do you have a shroud on as if she's shrouded? skogane, där trillar tranene, där flyg svanene, där är det vackert midsommarväder. Farfor till Långebro, köpte barnen gulda sko, barnen var för många och skorna var för trånga.
Flying Swans from Swedish-Estonian band Frender, also featuring Polish vocal trio Sutari, a brand new release there. But let's return now to the Excavated Shellac compilation and delve deeper into the sounds of the past. Jonathan Ward, you're the man behind the project. When and where are we going back to now?
This piece is an example of Filipino-American music recorded in Los Angeles in 1930. There were quite a few recordings of Filipino musicians made during that time, but most kind of feature orchestras and operatic singers. Some feature Hawaiian music, but this one is more of a folk song by a troubadour. The artist's name is Valentine Eugenio, and he recorded just a few records, but this is kind of a naughty song. It's sung by a man to his wife in the Ilocano language, and I was able to procure a translation by the person who actually wrote the Ilocano to English dictionary, and even he had trouble deciphering the old Ilocano. But I think my favorite passage is, "Your stinkiness I will make fragrant. I take out my pipe, the sheep sneezes." I mean, you know, Andre Breton, eat your heart out, right?
Let's hear it.
Patem tam baketi ya dunga peng penget isunani sardeng tati gabal kenap apa I palawag kuken ka I tatata duduata asikat pat pat gekag lalo no sumipnget ay baket patiem ngata nga ayat kut pim maria ta noi nakita en ola wen na toy na kem na palalo nga bim mukno ta dakela bibig mo ta noi dap dap mo ketum gartu dot dot ko Kudutenak takum syal tuy taktiak di kai pag pagarup nga ayat makarurud noga balenak punguteni wes wes nak pukawem toiri nak ketin nak kagrubab nang petaka payut mo baline kana banglo niruar ko toi suako hag baeng tikarnero pusa ko nam kanyak iming ko tatitidag naganen nakbukto kenwang asumasang do siak nipiritipit akal sunat nakipet rupak kurarat nitenget kot narapis naganen nakbulding ipasarunom tikal ding tabungaw ko namkan yakta ulok piglat-piglat nukuddo tenak takum syal toy takyag di kay pagpagarok nga ayata makarurod nugabalen nak punguteni wes-wes nak pukawem toy riknak ketin nak ang kagrubab
Wow. Sainbo Tint, one of what was then Burma's most prominent orchestra leaders and teachers, taking the solo there on the Burmese xylophone, the patala. And also in the ensemble, you could hear the drum circle, the percussion, all punctuated by the blaring reeds of several chne, which are a bit like oboes. And that was recorded in the mid-1960s, and you can find it and many of the other tracks we're playing today on Dust to Digital and Excavated Shellac's Alternate History collaboration, put together by Jonathan Ward. And Jonathan, I noticed that in the booklet you use the term global music rather than the somewhat problematic world music or ethnic music. Could you just briefly talk us through that? I know it's a bit of a minefield.
I feel that global music as a term is a bit more inclusive. It's still problematic, but it's not nearly as problematic as world music or international music or what they used to call this music back in the 78 era, ethnic music. I wrote my introduction to this book 3 years ago, and in that time, even the Grammy Committee has changed their topic name to global music from world music. So I feel like it's a little bit prescient, as a matter of fact. It's time for these terminologies to change and be upgraded, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and just returning to the subject of 78s here, which I know you love, one thing I've noticed is that a lot of the tracks are quite raucous. They're quite rowdy.
I think that's my own personal taste. I like to be shocked into submission. I think it's really important that people understand that this music has a deep history, and perhaps people in the West may not understand that, and I love just being thrust into a new world that has so much opportunity to learn about.
In the booklet, it's saying as well that the mechanics of the actual disc recording also favoured performance that were loud as well, so that probably helped.
Certainly prior to the invention of the microphone, or the widespread use of the microphone, which would be, depending on where you had a recording industry, was more or less the mid-20s, mid to late 1920s. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, acoustic recordings made, you know, in the classic method of people singing into a giant horn, that had a very narrow acoustic range. So, you know, bass notes were virtually impossible to pick up. The subtleties of string instruments were very difficult to pick up. But, say, the banjo, brass bands, military bands, anything in that center mid-range sounded terrific. Gradually that changed, though, throughout. By the 1920s, things had improved a lot.
And I suppose the duration of the tracks was also defined to a certain extent by the equipment and by the format as well.
Yes, absolutely. You had about 3 minutes to 3 minutes and 30 seconds on a 10-inch side, and that's it. So people around the world who were classical musicians in, say, India or the Middle East or Chinese opera players or Burmese drama players, they had to condense their performance to 3 minutes or 3 minutes and 30 seconds just by virtue of the medium. And that, in a way, changed music.
Let's move on to another track that you've suggested for us from Turkey.
Yeah, this is dance music of the Black Sea region of northeastern Anatolia, played by a man named Piçoğlu Osman, or Osman, son of the bastard. And Osman here is playing the kemençe, which is a three-string fiddle shaped a little bit like a wine bottle, played upright, and it's, you know, the primary folk instrument of the region. It was recorded in 1939. Piçoğlu Osman is considered one of the primary, perhaps even the most important kemençe player of the 20th century. The discs are extraordinarily rare. There weren't many recordings of Pontic music made, whether it's Black Sea music from Turkey or if it's by displaced Pontic Greeks. There's just very little of it out there, but it's fascinating and interesting and really lively.
Thank you. Kim, 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 hop, 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 hop.
Love that, the ferocious fiddle playing, or kemençe playing, really, of Pijulu Osman from Turkey. And Jonathan Ward, thank you so much for talking us through some of those untamed sounds from what is really a labour of love, isn't it?
Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate you giving me the time.
It's an absolute pleasure. I cannot recommend highly enough Excavated Shellac, an alternative history of the world's music, which is out now on Dust to Digital. Got one more track from that to end the programme today, but first here's something I've been desperate to play to you since it came out a few months ago at the end of October. It's a collaboration between Bush Gothic, the darkest and most daring of Australia's bush bands, with Welsh composer and fiddle player Angharad Jenkins. And this old ballad is the perfect material for that combination. It was found in the Welsh National Library and gives advice to three young men setting off for a new life in Australia.
Gangi ikamri I
lockdown project collaboratively composed, recorded and produced across two hemispheres and four homes. And Harrod Jenkins and Australia's Bush Gothic, bringing a new sound to that old Welsh ballad, Y Fyw Y Fod. And that's just about it for this week. If you're looking for something to listen to tomorrow, the 14th of February, can I just point you in the direction of award-winning podcast Folk on Foot, who are putting on their fourth online festival. It's a six-hour stream of various artists. They're all going to be singing their choice of an original love song, a traditional love song, and a cover version of someone else's love song. Yes, it is a Valentine's Day tomorrow. And as usual, Folk on Foot are running a crowdfunder with the money split between the charity Help Musicians and the artists appearing, who include Corinne Polwart, Kerry Andrew, Peggy Seeger, Sekou Keita, Sam Lee and many more. Definitely worth listening out for. I'm Catherine Tickell here in the wilds of Northumberland, and I've got one more track to squeeze in from Excavated Shellac, an alternate history of the world's music. Although this one is very much part of the normal history of the world's music as far as I'm concerned. And I had to play this, really, Tyneside song The Keel Row, played on the Northumbrian small pipes by Tom Clough. Now, these pipes are a bellows-blown bagpipe with a closed end to the chanter, which makes it possible to get that staccato sound that Tom Clough was such a master of. He only made one record, and all of us Northumbrian pipers still listen to it with awe. Recorded on January the 4th, 1929. Here's Tom Clough.
Tom Clough and The Keel Row, recorded in 1929. Music Planet was presented by Catherine Tickell and produced by Felix Carey. And now here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for J to Z,